live on this college football Sunday, home of the Packers and the Suns and the Jazz, right? These are football teams, correct? The LA Jazz.
I had to check the stream, and yeah, we are live. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. How are you feeling today, Mr. Steelers fan? How you ready to...
I expect a loss.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, we might win. I have faith in the Steelers D. I think they're trying to build something, and I have faith that it's actually going to work. From shit I've read online, it's like rumors of something similar to what the Chargers used against the Ravens last year in the preseason and the postseason, where they have just a lot of linebackers on the field, and
okay.
We have a lot of good linebackers in our squad.
I think I fixed our font problem. So
great, we had a font problem.
Now we got a good font.
Oh, we do have a font problem.
It's a real something really funky happened to that font, and I just want to say, it's not on me. Thank you. Like I don't know what happened. I just moved it around once up to the top of the screen, and it fixed it. So we're doing real good here. We got a font that's working. We got a front in the Steelers that's gonna push people off the line of scrimmage.
Poor Morley.
Possibly.
Kyle Marley.
Okay. Who's Kyle Marley?
Kyle Marley. He's a descendant of Bob Marley.
You talking about the Arizona rookie quarterback?
My quarterback? What's going on with my boy?
By the way, you haven't introduced me yet, podcast host.
Hello. This is Pop Cans. What's your team? I don't think I ever asked you.
It's the Colts,
have
right?
A team?
I once rooted for the Colts when I was young. I don't really.
So it's the Colts.
I would like the Colts to win, mostly because my dad would be happy. Yes.
Okay, that's all I wanted the Eagles to win for.
But my team is my fantasy team. Sorry, I don't.
So the Colts.
Colts, I guess. Yes. Go to Biscay.
Indianapolis, some would call it.
Go Brisket, go.
Go Brisket.
Go.
Brisket. You got Brisket in Indianapolis. You have Biscuit in Chicago. We got lots of great characters. Lots of
Here's
great
Biscuit.
Mr. Trubiscuit.
That's bad.
Don't
That's
like it?
That's terrible.
Shit!
No.
I fucking gotta take it back to R&D. We'll work on it.
Give us other food puns.
For
from
quarterbacks?
The NFL.
Is that any
player.
let me call my man in the field here, where somebody gets Zach on the line, Mr. Zachary. Somebody tell him we need some puns over here. Stat. We're going to need those. Well, cool. I didn't know you were a Colts fan. That's neat.
I mean, I'm not, but whatever.
You are. You're always the fan.
Yeah.
You're always your parents' fan.
Like,
so it's just how it is.
I learned very much that once I become a fan of a team, them losing hurts me more than them winning usually. So I don't want to become fans.
That's true.
Because it's painful, and I don't like that. So
I was driving home today, and my Eagles were getting trounced on by the Redskins, and the agony I felt was excessive. I had to turn the radio off. I had to, like, I can't do this. I can't live this way anymore. Damn Eagles. I should just root for any team I want, as long as it's not the Patriots, because fuck the Patriots. But I don't know. It's difficult being a fan of a sports team.
I googled NFL players into food, and it came up on a game facts list from 2012.
Okay.
Turn NFL players' names into food. Holi May started this with some good ones, like Cam Fig Newton.
Yeah,
that's pretty
okay.
good.
That's solid.
Donovan McNuggets. I feel like that's McNabb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Julius Dr. Peppers.
Okay.
Jason Campbell's soup.
Okay, that's a little bit of a stretch. I don't like that one. That one's
then we got a Chris Cooley Whip. I think there's a guy called Chris Cooley. Ray Fred Rice. And my favorite here, Ben Rothley Hamburger.
Rothley Hamburger. Oh my god. What does football turn us into? That's
the question I Veggie have. Bush.
Veggie Bush. Now that's a good one. Now that's some quality
Matt,
content.
No.
Matt Whitecastle.
I like Matt that. White I like Castle. That one, yeah. Maybe it's because I hate White Castle, so. And I hate puns, so two negatives equals a positive. That was a good touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
From who? To who?
Rivers to Keenan Allen.
How's
this is your
boy?
Sports ball hour.
I guess.
Who's your boy?
My Kyler Murray. How's my boy? Number one overall pick. Arizona Cardinals.
Had to get rid of Josh Rosen, but, you know, it's fine.
Poor Josh Rosen.
He had to be on the team that lost by 40 points today.
So, yeah, guys, let's transition now, then, to talk about something sort of related to football, sort of related to... the NFL, and that is video games in particular. Let's talk about Madden. Madden 20.
Have you been playing Madden?
20? Madden. I didn't play 2020. I played an older Madden. 2011? 2016? Something like that.
Oh, that old. Okay, Jesus.
Yeah, I was like, all right, football's coming up. Don't want to play any particular, like, game. I don't really want to be, like, I don't want to go out and buy a new Madden. Just want to play, you know, you get that craving where you just want to play a little, just a few snaps, a few downs to get that taste. And I played, I think, 2011. The one I actually owned. The only Madden game I actually owned, 2011. A classy year. Just look at the lineups and stuff. They've made a lot of changes over the years.
Yep.
Super big fan of a lot of the changes they've made with Madden, but I enjoyed it. It was a fun little game to play for a few hours.
You know, you can probably go to your local GameStop. I have no clue how far away that is for you, but they'll probably have like a clearance rack of like 2018s or 2018 Madden for like $2 there, I'm sure.
The actual game I want to buy is The Show, the Show, MLB The Show.
Yeah, they'll have those really as well. Like,
yeah,
they'll have 2018's The Show there for like $2.
Yeah,
it's amazing how price reductions on sports games just occur like that.
Yeah, that's what I want. I don't really care about sports games. I just want to. Story mode, man. I just wanna make a pitcher, make him horrific, and play some baseball for the I don't know the Cubs or something.
What?
Random.
You don't care about sports football. Games, but you want to play sports games.
I think what he meant was he doesn't care about the iterative tiny updates that occur between each sport game. So, like, a game from 2017 is just as fine as 2019's version.
I'm surprised some young developer, like some little publisher or something like that, has not tried to make a sports game and do the thing that I think everybody wants with sports games, which is just, hey, let's release a roster update as, like, a DLC thing rather than releasing an iterative game. Like, just make a, here's the game, and we just keep updating it. Over time. Like, I'm surprised nobody's done that yet.
Where's the profits in that?
Yeah.
Roster. I mean, you know, you're a smaller publisher, so you don't have to have that huge overhead.
You can't do that with football because EA has a license.
They have it locked up.
Baseball game.
Yeah, you'll have to make fake teams.
Like, the only game you could maybe do that for is is basketball, but there's already, like, a bunch of arcade basketball games, too. And, like, two AAA ones, and I don't think there's a market for that, but sure.
I mean, the only, the most interesting sports game I ever played was NCAA 14, the last NCAA game, where, like, you make a team, you coach it up. Like, I think you could do something like that without all the licensed stuff, and if you built it just the right way, I think it would be really neat.
But I mean, it's hard. There are examples of that, like Fire Pro Wrestling. It's renowned for not having licenses for any of the wrestlers whatsoever, and they just kind of let the fan base create all the characters that they could then download for, like, NJPW and WWE and old-school WWF and whatnot. I think that's what you're kind of more focusing on looking for, is you need a reliable indie company to make a sports game.
Right.
Which then relies on the community to make it, and they just hold their hands up and go, we don't control what they make.
There is an opportunity here, though, with the XFL stuff. You could
have
some of these smaller indie leagues where you could do a sports game now. Like, there is a small window of opportunity, and you would need probably to commit quite a number of resources for it, but you can make something.
Who would buy that?
Wrestling, by the way.
One, who would buy that? Two, what if the league doesn't even last one season? Like
the AAF.
Exactly.
I mean, you gotta take risks, man, to make that.
Yeah.
Cash.
Remember that fucking TNA game that came out?
Yeah.
There was a TNA Impact game.
The Arena Football League game that came out very briefly. I think there was one game of that.
Was that actually linked to, like, the arena football that occurs?
Yes.
In America. Great.
Not in America.
It's in America. I only know of American arena football, and then the ladies' arena football, which is that lingerie one.
Yeah, it's all on YouTube.
Yeah. Legends or something? I forget what the name of it is.
Just want a new NFL Blitz. Is that so much to ask? So much to ask in this world. Somebody get me.
What's on this? You're wrong, but I've got why you're wrong, so. And also, wrestling's bad. I don't know.
How's wrestling doing? What's going on with wrestling? Undertaker's back?
WWE's... back? No, he's back at college football. He likes college football.
Yep.
WWE's ruined the one good thing, one wrestling thing they have, and NXT.
NXT, sure.
Yes, they're bringing it to network, and they're just going to ruin it. But
they're also doing 1 hour live on that network, and then 1 hour on the WWE network.
Yeah, the vote of confidence win. So the story is, the first 3 weeks, it's all going to be live on TV for 1 hour. Then it's going to be on the network on the second hour. But you know why? It's because Suits has to finish their season. So
of course, Suits.
Suits needs that hour.
They need it.
They need that time slot, so NXT gets a bump. So there you go. Thanks, Suits.
Let me just tell you something about having watched probably 5 seasons of Suits. Nobody needs to watch Suits. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
My mom loves Suits.
It's fine. It's fine. It's better than your average cable show. Man, we're just covering all the podcasts we do today, huh? We gotta figure out a way to loop anime into this too. But let me give you hot takes and Suits. Go ahead.
Bo, during the USA rankings, is it like above Psych or below that one with the doctor? The house. There's the one with the doctor. He serves like fancy people, or rich people.
Oh no, never mind. I know there's
number one is Burn Notice, right?
Something.
Number one is Burn Notice.
That's really good.
It's a good show.
Royal Pains.
I didn't like the end.
Royal Pains.
Okay. Number two for me, USA Network. We're gonna go with Suits. It's the only one I actually enjoy. Number three, I watch a little bit of Royal Pains, But we ended up, it just kind of kept going in like the same direction. That's my biggest complaint with that in Suits is you just kind of just keep going, huh? You're just going to keep just, okay. Just not even going to.
Well, can you just say that for every USA show past 2008?
I got to figure out best USA shows. I don't even remember what USA Playo put out.
I'm dead.
Yeah, it ended. But it lasted for 8 years, so don't even. It's 7 to 6.
Why is Game of Thrones on the best USA shows?
Because you went to a bad article.
Monk?
I've never heard of this Royal Pains show.
Monk is number 2. Let's go at Monk at number 2.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Monk's big here. Yeah. Is Mr. Robot a USA show?
Yep.
Wow.
Okay, well then, number 1, Burn Notice. Number 2, Mr. Robot. Number 3, Monk. Number 4, The Americans. Number 5.
I've heard of that. Is Mr. Robot also on Amazon for you guys? No?
I don't think so.
So it's weird. Like, Netflix and Amazon tend to buy a lot of, like, those shows and then just claim it's, like, Amazon original, like, Netflix original, even though it aired on, like, an American channel. And it's not really a Netflix original. So, like,
right, yeah.
We get a lot of confusion over here because we don't have USA. And it's technically a USA original that they just bought.
So the other big show was, shit, I just lost it. White Collar. Is that good? Where's that in your list, Alan?
That's up there. That's up there. White Collar is good. I really like both of the two leads in that show a lot. It did drag on a little bit, but I thought they both did a really good job. Enjoyed them.
What about Covert Affairs?
That was also very good. I forgot how many USA shows I've watched. Covert Affairs is good. I like the leading lady in Covert Affairs. I thought it got a little weird, like the relationship between her and her handler. I thought that was just like kind of contrite. Like, okay, we're going to have a relationship kind of thing. And it just kind of just got off on it a little bit. And it just started getting a little lost in itself. And it's like, okay, easy. You're not that good. Like, calm it down.
What about In Plain Sight?
In Plain Sight is pretty low on the list. I didn't enjoy it very much at all. In Plain Sight, you know, I think some of the characters are good, but at the end of the day, In Plain Sight just ends up, I feel like I want that other U.S. Marshals Service show kind of thing where you're hiding people in plain sight. Like, I don't know.
And what about any of the current programming? Queen of the South, The Sinner, The Purge, Peterson? Or is any of that good?
I haven't watched The Purge yet. Queen of the South, I watched a little bit of. It's a quality show. I think it works well. But it's one of those shows that I think have come out recently with Narcos. With some of the drug dealing shows that are just like, okay, we're doing this, huh? Okay, we're all just going to have all these coke dealers and like, I don't know. It's not seemingly exciting for me, so.
The Purge was not bad. It was fine. Also, that's another Amazon exclusive over in the US, in the UK, Amazon original or whatever the fuck. Yeah. So again, it's actually fine as a like 10 episode show. I'm mm-hmm. Oh, it has been renewed for a second season. That's coming out next month.
Yeah. Well.
Favorite show of the year so far? Question somebody just asked me. Friend of the show asked us.
Sorry you're watching this, by the way. I'm sorry.
No, I'll be sorry. Yeah. This is like relaxed Sunday here on Rums of Baghdad. High quality content. My favorite show so far of the year.
Is it Game of Thrones Season 8?
No.
Okay.
The OA is up there, and I know everyone likes to make fun of me for the OA, but I really like the OA a lot. That's probably pretty close to top, I think. I like what it does. It's sort of nuts, and I like nuts.
No, I watched the last two seasons of Orange is the New Black in the last 5 or so days. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I kind of glad I like watched it all in one go, because it's nice to like not just like chain watch those, but like chain watch like two seasons and just get it over with. And the final season especially is actually really cool. Focuses a lot on ICE and immigration issues.
Sure.
It's current, topical.
Topical.
And how that relays not only into like prison systems, but detention centers and
whatnot. Right. Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of great shows out there right now. And they're everywhere. Like, DC has a good slate of shows on their thing.
Would you call this the golden age of television?
I think we're past that, in my opinion. I think that ended with Game of Thrones, when Game of Thrones wrapped up.
How about Chernobyl, though?
I think we've entered the silver age of television.
Are you saying last year was maybe the last year of the golden age?
Yes, last year I think started to feel a little like, now we're entering a different age. Now I think we're entering the age of all these streaming services battling for different stuff. And it's
what do you say with now Disney coming out to be the front runner in the streaming services, and they will be relying more on franchise content and past archives instead of creating new IPs that and people will try to follow suit, that creating new good TV shows will be not the biggest priority nowadays?
I mean, look at what Netflix has done, right? They cut the OA. They ended a bunch of their sci-fi shows that they were doing. They started to nail down on a few different shows that I think have worked, and they're taking less creative risks already. I think we've seen in the last couple of years, and I just think...
See, like, for me, that's, like, totally different, because, again, like, for the UK at least, they, like, buy off a lot of seasons from everywhere else. So, like, 13 Reasons Why is here. Elite, which I think is a Spanish drama they've bought, Elite. And are claiming it's a fucking Netflix original. They tend to buy a lot of Korean dramas and stuff. K-dramas.
Well, 13 Reasons Why was also Netflix original, so I don't know.
Yeah, that was original. And it's kind of dog shit, and it's already got 3 seasons for some reason.
Their shows that have proven a little bit of success, and I think they're doubling down on those shows. Stranger Things, 13 Reasons Why.
Mindhunter.
So now that, like, these Netflix, there's these streaming services, now that they have created a bunch of shows, and now some of these shows are popular now, they're going to start relying more on those instead of trying to make new shows.
I mean, I think the thing that screwed it was Stranger Things did really well. When Stranger Things did the kind of numbers I think they did for Netflix, I think they said, well, why are we spending... $500,000 on some of these shows when they are not getting those kind of numbers, and we could instead spend that money on merchandise rights and promotional material for some of our bigger shows. No, I think they've changed that direction with that stuff.
It was Tuca and Birdie. It's because watched Tuca and Birdie, so they lost all the money on that.
Counterpoint, now that Netflix, though, is losing a bunch of their top watch shows next year, and will they have not enough content where they still need to produce new shows? Will they just try to get more content elsewhere? More niche stuff, per se.
I could see that. I think the space is getting more crowded too. So a lot of other networks are buying up shows. I don't think people have been paying enough attention to things like Showtime, Cinemax, things like that, bigger TV divisions.
That's, like, this doesn't occur, this doesn't matter to me, because, like, I'm looking here, and, like, I see Suits, I see The Good Place, I see, like, She's Gonna Have It, I see, DC Titans here, and I know those are all shows on, like, USA and other channels in America, but, like, Netflix is the only way to get them over here. Wow. So do you think those like USA is going to partner with Netflix? Because it's unlikely they're going to find any success of creating their own streaming business.
Well, USA is owned by
NBC, right?
NBC, I think so, yeah.
NBC, do they have their own streaming business?
NBC has Watch. They do a lot with Watch TV Anywhere, which is a app they offer to cable subscribers, where they can watch all their networks and their streaming services all kind of on a unified platform.
I don't think
they've announced anything big with that.
They're still like the biggest network that still partners with Hulu and stuff like that, right?
I think NBC owns part of Hulu.
It originally started with all the big networks owning Hulu, but then once those big networks started having their own streaming services, they backed out. So
right.
I don't know what.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And then you look at things like, I think the CBS streaming service is interesting. I like a lot of the stuff they're doing there, and then getting that new Star Trek show with Captain Picard, which I like a lot, and then they're doing some interesting things with some of their back catalog. And I mean, it's a weird scene right now. I think it's something that me and Zach's talked about a lot on Seen Anything Good Lately, hashtag crush promotion. But we both were like, you know, we spent a good probably half an hour, just looking at the catalogs, and there's a lot of streaming services, and they're buying a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of money moving and changing hands in television right now. It's neat.
I forgot, since Disney bought Fox, and Fox also had like a third of it, now Disney has the most of it. While NBC saw some of it, they're probably going to try to get out of that. Yeah, NBC aren't they starting their new thing next year? Guess where? That's where all the Office is going.
Probably. Yeah, they're probably gonna. I would imagine all three are gonna pull. ABC, NBC, and CBS are all gonna have their own streaming services. Then you have Disney. Then you have Warner's in DC Universe One. Then you probably have Netflix. You probably have Hulu. You probably have Amazon. Right. You have Showtime, you have HBO. I mean, at some point you get to a place where, like, you're just subscribing to channels, and that's, silly, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be a bloodbath, I think. I think you'll watch some of these services really struggle, and I think you'll, at some point, the next kind of thing is a few of them banding together into larger packages. Be more competitive. Something like a Netflix or a Hulu.
Yeah.
That's my personal thing. I watch too much TV. I'll be honest with you. I've watched
clearly
most of the shows this year. I don't know. I always like TV. I think it's, you know, transitioning to video games, why I connect so much with games like Remedy's Control, which obviously has its own television sensibility. You like that one? You like that little thing? Anyone? No? See, both of these guys are just checked out. They're just like, nah, man, I don't. Have you played Control? Have either of you played Control? No? I know Pop probably hasn't.
What do you mean probably hasn't? What if I have, motherfucker?
No, he probably hasn't.
I haven't because I've been playing this JRPG for the past 80 hours, past 2 weeks. But yeah, go ahead. 70 hours. Sorry.
Okay, I really want to talk about why you're spending so much time on a JRPG, but first I want to just say...
Good. I heard a lot of good things about Control, so you should
Game of the Year. I mean, honestly, I'm very much on, like...
How many games have you played this year? But yeah, it sounds very good.
I probably played 4, right?
How's Kingdom Hearts doing? Have you beaten yet?
Wow. Are you, like, married now? Are you giving me hell about this?
Good. I'm glad.
Sticking.
How's Red Dead? How's Red Dead Redemption? Have you beat that yet?
We won't even. Man, I should upload a picture at some point of my stack. I have a stack, probably like yay high. Well, yay high from like there to there of games. I have. What the heck is that game?
Don't worry for the audio listeners. I also don't understand.
LA Noir. No, it's the one with the zombies.
You're gonna say La.
La.
Left 4 Dead 2. No. He's talking about that motorcycle one.
Days of...
I still don't remember. Days what? Gone?
The one me and Optics talk about Days Go. Oh.
Days no, gone. It's the so one, the older one, the PlayStation 3 days. It's coming out. Everyone's excited. It had that really gory
Last of Us. Last of Us.
I have Last of Us. I have Horizon Zero Dawn.
How's that a zombie game? Sorry. Go ahead.
I have both of the Uncharted games, the new ones that I want to play.
What do you mean both? Did you talk about 4 in the collection? So you have 4?
No. No, I have the collection. Like I have 4, and I have the one that
PSP Vita game.
Let's not list your aspirational list. How many have you started and not completed?
God of War, I started, and Red Dead, I started, and Kingdom Hearts, I'm still working.
Okay, could be emotionally that's a in better it. List.
Yeah, God of that War, game. All right, my man.
Haven't played it yet, but I like you last year. Thanks, Black Friday.
Great. Thanks, Black Friday. It was cheap.
Wonder how much it is nice now.
Probably still $20 when I bought it, so it's fine.
When is that new Digimon game coming out?
Sorry. I know this is a bad podcast. Sorry. Talk about
control. No, it's not a bad.
You're just naming games you haven't played, so yeah, I think it is.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to our show.
Naming games we haven't played. Control. So I'm most of the way through it at this point. You're just throwing stuff around, really. Killing people with bricks, chairs, tables. There's some really neat, you can get off on some neat tangents and stuff where you end up in, doing, weird side quests and different, not marked side quests, finding hidden areas and stuff like that. Really enjoy that.
I don't know much about this game, and I've been hearing a lot of different things. I'm still confused what, it is, because when I'm here, I hear things like side quests, because at first I thought it was sort of like an open world game, but then I learned it was somewhat linear, but now I'm hearing there's side quests. I have no idea what this game is though.
That's a good it's linear to a certain extent, certain areas, certain quests are
but then I heard it was a Metroidvania, and then I'm like, I'm so confused. Yep. So
it's there's certain a mission may be linear, but once you finish a mission, an area opens up. So we'll take the example of the research division. There's central research, which you have to get to, and then there's different areas of the research section that do different things. There's luck and probability. There's different little sections that you kind of break through that are a little bit more linear when you're doing them, but then it opens up into more of an open world thing after you do the kind of first linear story mission. So you will end up with different side quests popping up in those areas after you do kind of the beginning stuff. And it also kind of works at the same time, sort of Metroidvania-y, where when you go through an area, you might open it up and make it easier to get around, and you're picking up different items and things like that throughout the level. Both when you're doing it in a linear progression as well as in the more open area.
Tyreek Hill might be out for a long time.
Who?
Tyler. What? Tyreek Hill.
Oh no.
Tyler.
Tyreek Hill. He was thinking to the local hospital, so RIP.
Well, that's bad.
Sorry, go ahead.
Control. It's scary, but at the same time, I think it's distressing at times more than it's scary. It's hard to make a game, I think, scary when you have a rocket launcher for a gun, but
this is like a modulated rocket launcher, because I've the only bit I've seen in this game is you've got a pistol-y thing and you have theoretically unlimited ammo, but it's like a chargey, an overheat system. Same thing with the rocket launcher.
And all the gun variations that you get along the way are, you can shoot them once and then wait for them to recharge. You can use all the ammo and it'll go into a bigger recharge system.
Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
But I've been just enjoying wandering around, finding weird collectibles.
Oh, nope. Okay.
Whoop.
So I also heard like
it's fine.
We're fine. So I heard like the gunplay wasn't maybe that good, but the powers were really good. Like, do you still enjoy shooting guns in that game?
Oh yeah. I mean, I said on the last podcast that like one of my favorite things is like running and gunning. So I think they do a really nice job of making the controls
feel like max fluid enough. Pain, perhaps.
Like Max Payne.
Oh. Yes. Do they maybe get some inspiration from that developer or something?
Sure, maybe, yeah. Oh, I think they just do a good job of making it fluid and making it... Like, it's not... Like, you're not looking for really, really satisfying like, Destiny kind of, like, head-popping and stuff like that. What you're looking for, I think, with this game is more the ability to use your guns and powers, and it all feels very fluid together. Rather than one feeling. You want to do it all the time, where the other one feels like, oh, I don't use it at all.
Right.
I just love running.
I just love. I don't have much to report, mostly because I just want to be avoiding control, so it stays fresh and new to me when I eventually get to it.
I think, I don't know if there's anything I could spoil for you, besides for the fact that, hey, that thing goes someplace. Gets real dark and twisted and weird.
Control has been probably the most confused game I've been on for years, because I thought it was a game I wouldn't want to play at all, but then it's getting a bunch of rave reviews. But then I hear it's a Metroidvania, which I don't like. Also, it's spooky, which I'm not a big fan of. So, everybody's saying such great things about it, but it doesn't sound like a game I want to play, so I'm not sure.
I don't think it's very Metroidvania.
It's
not Metroidvania in the sense of what you're thinking, like a 2D going around. It's Metroidvania in the sense that it's building.
You visit areas. Okay.
Yeah, and the areas will be different.
It's just like Wolfenstein 2009. Yeah.
2009?
Sure.
The one for the 360, and when there's a hub world, and you get to speak. Anyways. Do you remember when Jimmy G, like, he had like, 2 years ago when that ended the season, and he did pretty good, and everybody thought he was hot shit?
Yeah.
Then he got injured.
Yeah.
And now he just threw a interception that got turned into a touchdown.
I did see that.
Yeah, so now the San Francisco is down by 10 points to the Bucks, so good job there. 49ers, you're doing a good job.
Speaking of 1949, Popcans, when you started playing Cold Steel in 1949...
Sorry, get the name correct, please.
Trails Tox. Of Cold Steel.
Get the name Tox right. Tits. That's a different series, thank you very much.
When you started playing this game in the early aughts...
The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel, thank you very much.
Legend of Heroes, Cold Steel.
Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel.
So when you started playing this game,
which is in the Trails of Heroes series, it's inside of the Trails of Cold Steel saga, which is in its fourth game now. I'm playing the first one.
Oh, fascinating! I didn't know that. Really?
Well, the Trails of Heroes has currently. Five sagas, but I think the first two are not canonically connected to the other ones, and everybody ignores them.
Okay.
Well, the tits one that DJ talked about earlier, the Trails in the Sky. Anyways.
Yeah. Yes, tits.
Anyways, yeah. Sorry. Continue with your bit.
When you played this game when man first crawled out of the ooze.
But this doesn't make sense because I played it started 2 weeks ago. I can pull up my first save because fun fact about this game, they have like a they have 400 save slots or something, and I usually do a new save per each.
Oh yeah, I mean that's what I did in The Witcher was I just kept saving a new slot.
My first save was on the date being.
1944.
2019, August 22nd. So,
okay. One day before I left my job, you started up Trails, thinking, all right, here we go.
2 weeks ago, and then now I've put in, let's go all the way back down. I've put in 71 hours in the game.
Okay, that's distressing.
What?
What do you find enjoyable about this cult?
So this is a JRPG by the Falcon people. A game that a company that nobody in the West knows about, but they've been making games since 82. Most known for the Yeast series, YS.
Yes.
Anyways, they also have this other franchise that we talked about. So this is basically, so I played Fire Emblem Three Houses last month.
Okay, you have, yes.
Yeah.
And I've beaten it. That game is a school-based Japanese tactical RPG where you train a bunch of students. You're a teacher and you train a bunch of students who eventually go into war. Spoilers.
Is this other game also a video game where you're a teacher and train a bunch of students to go to war?
Technically, you play as one of the students, but...
Oh, okay, that's different.
Maybe. But yes, it's basically the same thing. So, I played the Fire Emblem. I thought the plot was utterly garbage, and the characters get... The character, I like... So, problem with the past, like... A little bit about Fire Emblem. The games in 3DS, the first two, The Awakening and The Fates, the characters were some of the worst characters in any game possible. And that's why I clearly hate those games. But the gameplay for Awakening was also kind of bad. For Fates, I kind of liked it. It was decently good. Come to Three Houses. I actually like the characters a lot. There's plenty of time for them to develop them, and they're not cookie-color anime tropes. They're actually pretty good. Some of them are, at least. Some of them are fine. However, that second half, it's a bunch of shit filler, and it's not very good. And the plot goes down in the garbage. So, but then I hear from my internet friends of the podcast, Sarah. Is he a friend of the podcast? I don't know.
She's a friend of the podcast.
And Tuca, who currently is dead because just lost.
Yeah, he's in an alcohol-induced coma.
They talk up the series, Cold Steel, because it's basically the same premise. And so I've been playing it. And turns out when I play 70 hours in a game over the course of 2.5 weeks, it means I actually really like it because I think they're correct. Where the plot is actually very good because the problem with Three Houses is they don't develop in like the countries and like any of the lore. So a lot of things happen, but you don't give a shit about.
Not a lot of world building.
Kind of stuff. the world building, as some might say, is not very good in Three Houses. However, in Cold Steel, it is very good because they spend a lot. Because for an 8-hour game, turns out they spend a lot of time on that world building.
Interesting.
Spoilers, they do. But they actually do it unlike Three Houses, but they still have the good characters I actually like. Characters that for a Japanese game you would think usually they're kind of like, you know, and tropey, not very developed.
Sure.
But they do with this game, and I actually like all the characters.
Is it like a fantasy game? Like, what is it? A fantasy game? Is it?
So that's one of the cool things. That's one of the fun things where it's not so tech. It's weird because it's set. It's hard to say because the game takes place like 20 years after this revolution happens, Orbital Revolution, which is basically like the electricity and Cold Steel series, but it's fantasy electricity because so it can do a lot more. So like,
fantasy electricity.
But there's so like things like they're surprised that washing machines are just getting invented. However, they have cell phones and stuff like that. So it's weird.
Like a mix match? Okay.
Yeah, it's like they're just getting to the Industrial Revolution, but it's mixed in together with the electricity and stuff like that. Anyways.
Do they have TV?
Well, they have cell phones.
Not really. Well, they have projectors. But, okay. And...
That makes a good point. Are their phones projector phones?
No.
Are they flip phones? Are they like...
No,
are they flippy phones?
Are they like this?
Do they have the dial? The circle dial.
So they're not technically phones. They're wrist devices.
Oh, they got Apple Watches. Okay.
Oh, like Power Rangers.
They're more for a dive. They're more for military purposes, but they can also have communications.
So Power Rangers.
So Power Rangers.
It's more like walkie. It's more like walkie talkies, actually. But
yeah, like Power Rangers. The Power Rangers.
Sure, yeah. Okay. Neat. Dino Thunder. Let's go. Okay. Yeah. You got me.
So
like in Zordon.
So it's set in this weird, weird setting and all this weird stuff, but it's all very good. Though my main problem with the game is it's a Japanese RPG, which means that it's Japanese RPG combat, which I'm usually not a fan of, and it's the game I actually don't like even more than the ones I do play. Like, I can put up with Persona, because I actually think it's pretty good. This game, I'm not a big fan, because battles can go one of two ways. It can either be ridiculously easy and boring, or it can be long and frustrating.
I could see that.
Just now, I'm getting to the point where I'm a little bit overpowered, so I'm not getting that frustrated. But, like, I just, like, a couple hours ago, this morning, I played a boss fight, because it was two boss fights in a row. I died during the second one, and it took me an hour to do all this boss fight. And while the game is neat enough where if you do lose in a fight, you can just restart from the fight, it still takes forever. And so this boss fight still took forever, and it was not fun at all. However, once I cleared this boss fight, I transitioned to the final chapter, and the final chapter was focusing on the school festival. So I spent hours working at the school festival, helping it to start it up. And then once it actually happens, I go around the school and participate in the classes, what the class is doing. So when there's one of the classes is doing a romantic garden. Uh-huh. So I obviously invite my waifu Fee, and we go to the garden. And it's very fun. There's one where, anyways, that game has a lot of combat. So combat bad, characters and setting and everything else. All the writing is good. So there. That's why I spent 80 hours past 2 weeks playing.
Okay.
Wow, you chose her, huh?
Look, she wasn't originally my favorite. However, I felt
you
like
spent time together and emotionally you got close. And
at one point, I had a meetup with Claire, the railroad military police higher up. And when I had to sneak out a night to go, Fee realized I was sneaking out, so she met up with me. And we spent a night in the town a little bit. That's when I grown to love her.
Yeah. Okay.
She's not my waifu. Because she's fucking chill as fuck. And she understands. He plays. She teases him. Emma fucking sucks. Because she's just a fucking cardboard with the big boobs. Fucking Elisa. She's typical. Wow. She's somewhat typical like Tundra. She's better than typical Tundra. But, you know, she's...
Tundra?
Tsundere?
Not Derry. Tsundere. She was my original waifu, but she's also the canon one, so no matter what, I'm picking her, but...
you can't choose in this game.
I don't know. I'm still in the first game. I don't know what happens.
Oh.
I just heard from other people that it's canon, anyways.
I love canons.
There's also Lena. She's also very cool. She's a badass. She carries a sword as tall as her, pretty much. She's really cool. She's cool. However, it's just like these two they have more of a friendship than a romance. That's the mother of anyways. They're more.
It sounded like you said Irina.
Sorry, no. It starts with the L. Lena. They're more of have a friendly rivalry than a romance. But Fee, she started out just as she started out as a child soldier. She grew up with a group of mercenaries because she lost her family. But right. she grew up with this group of mercenaries and she learned the ways of a battle at a young age. She still had compassion. She still felt like they were family to her. However, they got separated, but they got recruited into the academy. So she doesn't have a normal life. However, with the academy, she starts to grow more comfortable in life. And with that, God, where are you finding these characters, Optic?
She said Lena. Fucking
Lena.
All you had to do is go to the character sheet and look at the students' characters.
Let me look at these on my phone. Okay, Lena Crawford.
I didn't see a Lena in Trails of Cold Steel.
Well, obviously that means I'm mispronouncing it, but they're fucking, I don't know, Japanese names. They're got shittily translated, so I don't know how to pronounce them.
To English.
Annie. Now I need to find...
Who this Lena person is.
So I'll just say, while you take a look at what your thing is, I've been thinking about playing the Trails, the Heroes, Legend of the Heroes, Trails of the Sky.
Trails in the Sky, yes.
For years now.
Get it.
And.
Yeah.
Just too much, man. Like, I just, to sit down and play a JRPG right now, I don't know if I have it in me emotionally. But, I mean, I forgot to mention, I played World of Warcraft Classic also.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
That would marry.
So you do have the time to waste.
Yeah, I am wasting. Wow. Talk more about that when I have more time.
Why not? Talk about it right now. Okay, There you go. Jeez. How do you pronounce that?
Laura. Yeah, Laura. Laura. Not Lena.
Laura. You got it. My friend. Okay, Laura. She's looking good. Great.
Whatever.
Arsened.
Okay. Anyways, it's a JRPG. I like it.
Cool. Will you play the next game?
I already bought it, so yes.
Will you play the next game in the series after that one?
I would hope so.
Okay, great.
Do any of them merge together? Like, does Tits get involved? There's another one, isn't there?
Is there a crossover? There's Trails?
Yeah.
There's Trails of Cold Steel. There's Trails in the Sky. I think there's like a...
The series that came between those is the 0/AO series. The sagas usually take place in one country, on the continent. The AO slash 0/AO one, they're duology. This one takes place in Crossbell.
Okay.
And Crossbell. And that's also highly regarded. However, it has never gotten an official English transition.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of unfortunate. Those. Yeah. Probably doesn't help that it was on the PSP, so. Wait, what can you do? What can you do?
Talk to me about Far Cry, though. You're playing which Far Cry?
What Far Cry am I playing? So me and...
Six?
I'm playing 8. So me and friend of the show, is DJ a friend of the show? Or is he just,
hi.
Or is he a co-host?
He's a friend of the show, I think. He's friendly.
Wow.
Me and DJ, the guy over there, we're playing Far Cry New Dawn.
Hi.
The expansion to Far Cry 5 that came out earlier this year.
What's up with that game, boys?
So it was this year. I wasn't sure.
Like February. So, spoilers, at the end of Far Cry 5, a nuke happens. The world gets blown up. And they use that as the expansion for Far Cry New Dawn, which takes place in a post-apocalyptic United States.
Neat, okay.
But, like, they're not doing the thing of, like, Fallout does, of, like, hears all these radioactive people chasing after you and stuff like that. It's more right. kind of like just there's no politics or there's no overarching government.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
You have these improvised guns.
Improvising?
Yes.
So
so they don't do the thing anymore where you can just pick up a gun and bring it back to your base and it's kind of just yours. You have to, like, craft guns, which kind of sucks.
Craft those?
Yeah, I kind of, but they also make guns feel somewhat unique. Because another big thing this game added is a very light RPG system. So there's three levels, and three levels of guns, and three levels of enemies. So actually, there's four levels of guns, three levels of enemies. So if you have all level 1 guns, tier 1 guns, but you're facing off against tier 2 enemies, like me and DJ did before, we got smoked and died. But
yeah, it's a lot longer to kill them.
Sure.
Yeah, but as you know, so if you get tier 2 guns and you use them against tier 1 enemies, it's like shreds them pretty fast. And I think that helps making... Because like, the big problem with Far Cry 5 is once I got the guns I liked, I never need new guns ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, I just stuck with the two.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
But now that you have somewhat more extended to get better guns and different guns. So, that's nice. I definitely like that part of it. There's some progression to the game, which I felt was sorely lacking in 5. Sorely. Lacking in neat. 5. I think it is neat, yes.
I think having only played the last 3 or 4, I think the things you guys are saying sounds better. Like, I don't know.
Well, the problem with 5 is I fucking hate that game. Yeah, as a big fan of the Far Cry series, that doesn't help at all. So, what were we going to say?
Why did you hate it so much?
I thought the combat was pretty bad overall. It was pretty easy to die. I thought it was much easier to die than it should be. The combat, I never really enjoyed kind of combat. And the story was actively terrible and actively made me hate the game. Because they did things where every, like, two main missions you did, they fucking took you away from the action and fucking made you watch a cutscene that was, like, 10 minutes long. It was for the shitty main story about this cult that it sucks because they did 3 and 4 and they had like sort of interesting villains, and so they're like, oh, we can make cool villains, let's make half the game about these villains characters, but not do them any of the charismatic, make them any way more hey, what's up? I can speak.
Anyway, charismatic.
As the ones in 3 and 4, all these ones in 5 are dog shit. But you're still going to have to watch them for hours on end, because they want to make you stop playing the game. While they tie you down to the chair and talk to you, have their monologue for 10 minutes. Because monologues are cool, right? Live, right?
I felt like that was the same problem they ran into... with Assassin's Creed at a certain point was...
What?
Nobody's going to be as interesting as Ezio and, like, what was going on with Ezio. So we have these different characters we kind of ping-ponged our way through. And they didn't really have a firm grasp on, like, how to make interesting characters. I know you're talking mainly about, like, antagonists, but also, like, I feel like they had some issues there with... You think?
I mean, I think you're correct in the fact that the characters were not as good as Ezio. I don't think that's sympathetic to why I dislike the Assassin's Creed. Why I started disliking the Assassin's Creed games, anyways.
It's interesting. It's an interesting, like, they both seem to suffer from
this. It wasn't nearly as big of a problem because the story, I don't know. I still thought you could have a good you might be right there. I'll agree with you, because I don't know how to articulate my point.
Okay.
You win this one.
Yeah, Far Cry 5 was mildly boring. The story had potential, and, like, it just, like, threw it away really, really easily. And it really exacerbated its bullshittery by A, having a giant map, which we basically did the Wildlands thing of making sure we had a helicopter at every single point to fly everywhere, because we did not want to do any other method of going anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And then B, as Popcan said, like, every 15 or so minutes, it's just suddenly going to, like, trank dart us and then take us somewhere.
Right.
Even if we're trying to run to another objective, it'll just be like,
we just want
to
do this thing.
You
please stop
this side instead. Yeah.
So did you guys? I don't know if you mentioned this. And I'm
also, the side quests were bullshit. Also, were very bad, except for the cash stuff.
Yeah.
Good, Albie.
I was just gonna ask. Are you guys doing this through? Did you buy it, or are you doing it through the new Uplay thing?
So I thought this was gonna be one of the news stories, but yes, we're playing it via the Uplay. Oh, I see, because you're gonna transition into
it. We're gonna talk about some news outside of the news. I'm almost like a host, almost, you know.
So I'm going to talk about Far Cry New Dawn then, because I have a couple more things I want to say. So one of the big problems also with the Far Cry games is the co-op is always very poorly implemented. So, like, for Far Cry 5, when we played it, DJ was the host. So that means I couldn't really do a lot of stuff. Like, he always had to talk to the people to accept quests. He always had to do, like, other, like, things to progress everything. It's even worse in New Dawn, where one of the main aspects is you have a home base, so you upgrade the home base. However, DJ can't do any of that stuff, so...
Nope.
So, wow, he may want to upgrade, like, I don't know, the infirmary or something. I'm like, nah, how about we upgrade the garage instead? So, I still think that all sucks, but it is what it is. But, yeah, I think the new home stuff is pretty cool, where you're investing in this one in one place. And I think the story's still kind of bad, because it's still just like, here's these villains, and the plot's all about, here's these villains. That's basically the plot. I still think you're investing a little bit more in the characters you're playing. I think it's nice change.
Very much better change, especially compared to Far Cry 5.
Yeah, I'm actually enjoying playing this game. I like 5. We're playing it via the Uplay Plus. Because during all September, they're beta testing it by giving it out for letting everybody play it via trial throughout all of September. And Uplay Plus is basically their EA Origins, where it's just all their games. So if you want to play any game that you Uplay has on PC, it's there.
Mm.
If you want to play Assassin's Creed Rogue, it's there. Okay. You probably shouldn't. Because all the other Assassin's Creed games...
You can't play Anno 1800. Yep.
Except for one game. And why are you upset about this?
The one game I actually wanted.
Sure.
Yes, there's a technical issue, so that game is not part of it. Conspiracy theories.
Technical issue, my ass.
But yes, it's one game. Otherwise, if you want to play Rayman Origins, it's there. And hey, I think allowing...
Everybody loves Rayman.
Everybody does love Rayman, you know? He's a great guy. No arms, but a great guy, you know? Can't high point ball for shit, but real good.
So, yeah, I think it's a neat service, obviously. Allowing you to play any game for any new game, because all their new games are going to come out on the service at launch. So, when Watch Dogs 3, the UK version, comes out, I know DJ is probably going to get this and play it. Assuming.
Yeah.
Or maybe might just buy the game. I don't know. But hey, you could. So, which is always awesome. So, yeah, I think.
The wording suggests that their, like, free trial or whatever is just going to be this September. Whether that means it's just the month free trial is this September, and then later on, like every other thing, they have a week-long or two-week-long trial some other time, I'm not sure. But my plan is to... I think I used PayPal or maybe my credit card for this time around, because you still have to apply something so that it can like lock you into the monthly thing, so they hope you forget to cancel it.
Right.
And then I'll just use my PayPal the next time so that I do have a version to get a free trial when Watch Dogs does come out.
If you want to play Might and Magic Hero 7 Deluxe Edition, you can with the Uplay Plus. Mm-hmm. It is.
Settlers
Can I
3.
Play Settlers 7? Is Settlers 7 on there? That's a game I wanted to play.
Settlers. I'm looking at a list right now. You can play The Crew 2. Okay. Tom Clancy in War. Or Uno.
Uno? Oh, man. Shit, son. We about to do this. Oh, no. Had to do it to him. We're going to go. There we go.
Our Brothers in Arms, Earn in Blood.
There's also Monopoly. We can all download Monopoly and play a game of Monopoly.
Oh, we're doing a stream now. We're never doing a Monopoly stream. Are you ready?
So, a month is $15. So that's probably a little... I understand why it's $15. It's a little bit much.
Yeah.
When something like Game Pass is like... On PC Game Pass is $10 a month and it has a thousand more games and not just Microsoft games. But I still like it because obviously if there's a game I want to play that now Ubisoft is going to put out, you just sign up for a month and play it. So there you go. Boom.
Do you think this works out for like and Game Pass, right? I think we've all been playing a lot of Game Pass games over the last couple of months.
Well, Game Pass is a little bit different, but yes.
Do you think it works out for them money-wise? Like, are they making money on this? It just seems... I don't know. I just don't understand how they can be making money on the back end on this thing. Like, I just don't understand it. It's just such a good deal.
I do wonder if people are used to the whole thing of, like, Ubisoft games go down in price really quick because, like, their collector's editions.
Right. Yeah.
You can usually get them at least half price or the same price as, like, the full standard game, like 2 months later at most.
Right. And this is something I ran in. Yeah, go ahead.
Good.
I was just going to say, this is something I ran into. This and Game Pass, some of the Origin stuff is when my birthday came around, like, what do I ask for? I don't really, you know, Control was a game I bought, but like, it feels like, why would you buy games when you have these services now that you can just subscribe to for a month and spend $15 and play the game you want, you know? Like, I just don't know. Like, how do you guys feel? Like,
well, a lot of people still. A lot of people still like to have ownership of their games, and a lot of people don't actually like these types of things. I know for another noisy, he doesn't like doing this. He likes to actually buy the games, and people who are not as budget conscious as us don't mind it because they'll buy the games they want to play.
I just feel like anecdotally, because of the kind of games we all play, like I think we're all pretty avid consumers of video games.
I'm a video game enthusiast, thank you very much.
Okay, a hobby-grade video gamesman.
I'm a content creator of the video games. Check out my YouTube.
Really?
No, don't. Check it out.
Okay, I'm going to look up your fucking YouTube now.
Go ahead. You can see me solo run for the Destiny 1 raid. It's cool.
Neat.
Anyways. But I think it will work out because EA Origin has been a thing since 2011, and they have... No, it's a platform. What's their fucking... Mm-hmm. Origin Plus? What's their service called? Plus... Access.
Origin Access.
Anyways, EA Access has been a thing since, like, 2005, and they haven't shut it down yet. Clearly, it works, because EA is able to make it work, so...
2005?
I'm just guessing it's, like, somewhere around there.
Probably 2000.
4, 15. What do you think it is? I don't know.
2015.
Anyways, yes, I meant to say 2015. If I said 2005, I made a mistake. So shut up.
I just think it's so interesting. Like I would love to look at.
But yes,
profit.
I agree. you play game, Ubisoft games usually go down in price pretty quickly. So I think them wanting to get their launch price up front is not a thing that companies, is not a thing nowadays, especially with obviously the micro transactions and stuff like that. But there's a reason why Siege is still being updated and all these, and why Ubisoft so updates games all the time. Because nowadays Ubisoft makes games for people to play year round. So if they can make a service where they're compelling people to not buy the game but subscribe to their service year round, that's way much more money than $60 for one.
And you make a comprehensive marketplace where you can buy like bits and bobs and your hat for your different character and stuff. And you build those hooks more into the game for something like Assassin's Creed, a single player game. Hey, you want this new hat? Here's a new hat, you know, kind of thing.
And it allows people to be integrated to other games that they not normally wouldn't have bought. So, for example, people will buy and people will play The Crew 2.
Sure.
Might go, oh, this game's cool. I want to waste my Uplay points on getting a car or a skin or some shit on it. That's other ways for them to get DLC purchased, because most of these streamy things don't actually like bundle in all the DLC for these games. Most of the time. Sometimes you'll get like Gears of War Ultimate Edition for an example. But by and large, they just do the standard edition.
Yeah, because like all the games coming to Uplay Plus at launch will be the standard edition. But also won't include any of their DLC, so...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to buy the DLC and all the gizmos and goodads.
Okay. Interesting.
And, yeah. And I think that one's a little bit different, because Gears of War... You can give Gears of War 5 Ultimate Edition if you're Ultimate Game Pass, but not if you're regular Game Pass PC. That's a little bit weird. Anyways, doesn't matter.
That was, like, a dollar change. I think you can still legitimately do the dollar upgrade right now.
Sure. Well, speaking of Gears of War 5, DJ, did you want to talk about Gears of War 5 now, or are you saving that for the end? What were we thinking?
What's up?
No, you can talk about it now. I didn't play much of it at all because we're planning to play it together. Wanted to load it up to see what it might have thrown at me at the start of the game. Turns out it does throw a, like, tutorial thing. I think you can skip it.
Eckler has 30 points? Fuck yeah, Eckler. I might still be in this game. Fuck you, Barkley, only 11 points. Good.
I've lost myself now. I've lost my train of thought.
Yeah. No, I think you watched Popcorn scores and you're still not going to be in this game. But, it starts with a tutorial, which I think you can skip, but the key thing that I want to iterate enough to you is, at the start, it goes through a bunch of, like, setup stuff, like, hey, check brightness, check other stuff, but it also popped up a sync thing at the same time for me, saying, like, it couldn't sync, do you want to retry and stuff, and because I was using my gamepad, I just used my gamepad to press the buttons, but it was also pressing the buttons underneath. So I think the audio of mine, I think I missed a screen in the setup that was setting up the audio, and it set it to 5.1 surround sound, because when they speak, I can barely hear them. Like,
hello, speak up!
I can barely hear the characters at all, yeah.
Leaning in, just like, excuse me, can you come over?
And like, I have not found a single way to get back to that screen. So, yeah, pay attention when you're doing the first, like, load of this game. And don't, like, assume that the gamepad will only have priority on the sync window, because it's also running in the game. It's really dumb, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what we... what I said about Gears of War 4 when we played a little bit, was I was having a lot of trouble with.
But have a check, because there's also people complaining like Logitech drivers are like messing up with their surround sound systems, Dolby Atmos. There's no way to like futz with surround sound inside the game. Once you're in there, the settings for the audio is just like sliders. There's no like on-off stereo or surround sound. It's really pretty bad. But the Ultimate Edition does come with a bunch of Halo Reach skins.
Ooh.
And the Terminator stuff.
Gears of War is usually very good at just, like, allowing you to co-op all of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, I think it's like you can just, I'm assuming Gears of War 5 is the same thing, where you could group up in the main menu and just jump into co-op.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about us just starting from the very beginning. Yeah. That seems like a video game that's somewhat middling, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
From
people
what I
like
hear.
It, though.
Yeah, people seem to be actually
from what I hear,
high
people
on.
Really like
7.8 maybe, but sure. Not top tier, maybe, but yeah, good. A quote-unquote good.
7 out of 8,
good.
Okay. 9 out of 10?
Maybe, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I can still win this, whatever. Barkley's okay. Not doing well. I think there's a very good chance Julian Edelman doesn't score many points.
So Dave Bautista's going to be in Gears 5. What's up with that?
Score points.
What's up with Dave Bautista?
He's not in the game currently. I don't know where he's going to come in. He's clearly not in like the campaign. I haven't played the campaign. Maybe he is. Maybe he's like at the end and they had to get out early before people played the campaign. With
hey guys,
saying,
this is
like,
Dave
hey,
Bautista.
Yeah.
He's in this game. Making sure you know.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but from what I can tell, like, skin-wise and whatnot, he's, like, not there. Maybe they'll add him in, like, a DLC pack.
Skin-wise.
You can grab him for free between September 15th and October 28th.
Neat. Ah, it's like the piranha plant.
Grab him for free, guys. Oh, well, cool. I'm glad. That's cool for Dave Bautista. I like him as an actor.
Do you?
No.
He plays a character that barely talks, but...
It's true.
It's pretty good when he talks. Like,
he is pretty good.
His transition is pretty good.
He's got good comedic...
From chops. His bad... Yeah, from his, like, pretty bad serious wrestling character to someone that can actually pull off jokes. It's well done.
He's probably made more money as that Marvel character than he made during wrestling. Think of this.
No shit! Yeah, dog.
In all of his wrestling career versus...
Yeah, probably.
Wrestling has took away years of his life because all the physical pain and, like, physical activity while he plays a shitty Marvel character and has earned more money than many small countries, probably. Maybe not that much, but...
What are you talking about, boy? Drac?
I don't know.
I feel like he's earned quite a lot in wrestling. He was a big name. He was quite a big name at one point. Like, they actually, like, had him carry SmackDown for a while.
He was only big because he was in the same stable with Ric Flair and Triple H. I don't know.
Yeah.
He was never a
heavyweight. That's all you need.
He was never a heavyweight champion. Like, he probably was, but he was never a top dog.
He was.
He's no John.
He was a top dog.
Everybody's been a heavyweight champion. Come on.
I would agree with you if he was like John Cena level, but no, he's not.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not Cena.
He's not Cena level, and he's a popular Marvel character, so no.
Well, DJ.
Yes.
Old wrestlers coming back once again to deliver some pain. Tell me about Master Chief.
What?
What's he doing?
Apparently in 1999, he earned $1 million as salary from WWF SmackDown as one of the show's wrestlers.
Master Chief did?
But this
That's
is
wild.
So fucking sporadic. He earned $500,000 for wrestling on WrestleMania 23. But then again, he also earned $800,000 from the movie Riddick.
Oh, Riddick, yes, the classic movie. Yeah. Everyone loves Riddick. Video game was alright.
And $1.7 million from the movie LA Slasher as the drug dealer number one.
Drug dealer number one. You know you're
so
really making the money
right.
When you're drug dealer number one.
Drug
dealer.
What did you ask me? Because I was looking at
It looks like he made $13 million. I have no idea. Sarko was weird. Sorry, go ahead.
How's Master Chief doing?
He's not in Halo Wars 2, by the way, you fucking idiot. He's not in
They do reference him though.
Well, yeah, he's the biggest.
What are you doing? What is this game?
He's the biggest Spartan 2, yeah, and he's the proverbial leader of the Spartan 2s. But yeah, he's not in Halo War games
because they take place.
Because back in the back in Halo 1, there's only three Spartans in Halo 1, by the way, because that game takes place.
Oh boy, here we go. We're really getting into it now. What are the three Spartans?
Sorry, we don't do this. But
at some point, I would actually love to sit down with you and talk about Halo. But I'm just
wondering. I'm pretty rusty at this point. But yes, I know a lot about Halo.
Play Halo. I can't wait until we are gonna stream Halo. That's gonna be great.
But no, he's not in either Halo War game. Halo War games. Okay. The Spartans of his class, his Johnification are in that game, which is pretty weird. Where?
Yes.
Because by the time Halo 1 came out, and the lore wise and the timeline wise, Halo 1, he's basically he's one of like five survivors by the end of Halo 1. And the game says he's the last one, but like one of them is like fucking comatose. Three of them are like stuck, like two of them are like stuck inside of fucking an Oryx planet. Like, it's very weird. I think another one is like, and there's a couple of other generally missing action ones. I'm not sure if they appear or anywhere. Anyways, sorry, go ahead. Halo Wars 2. What's that? What is that, a video game? I never heard of it before.
Yeah, what's going on with Halo Wars?
It's a fun game where you're tactically.
It sounds like it. It sounds
building
like it's real
bases
fun.
And also attacking people. So I only played like two missions because I'm pretty slow at them, and my strategy of turtling up really does make missions last longer than they need to be. But you're fighting this like monkey man called Decimus. Is that his name?
Decimus.
It's close enough though.
He's a brute leader, but a brute.
He's a brute leader, monkey man.
Monkey man. Again,
and
not a monkey.
Yeah,
but
it's weird. Close enough, though. And
no.
Yeah, it's interesting. As far as I can tell, there's no horde, or whatever it's called, the equivalent in
the flood.
Halo, the flood. It's always
the
such
flood?
A dumb name. Yeah, it's a fine game so far, I guess. Again, I've only played like two or three levels. I'm still very much in like tutorial zone of like, here's how to do this with your base now. And then we're going to unlock these units, and these units are going to do X to those units, etc., etc.
You probably say it's an RTS. I don't think you say that.
It's a strategy game.
Yeah.
Of some form.
It's not a first-person shooter, unlike all the other Halo games.
Yes, and then they do mention, like, the Master Chief at one point, like, as a throwaway line in, like, the second mission there. Say something like, where's all the Spartans or something? And it's like, hey, we had John, that was his name. John rolled around through this and cleared out this area once before, or some shit like that.
John, my friend John.
John Chief.
John Spartan. John J. Spartan.
Oh, is that his name? John Spartan. John Chief Spartan.
No, his classification is John 117.
John 117.
John 117 is his classification. We don't know his full name before he was kidnapped by the UNSC to become a Spartan. I'm pretty sure John was his name before becoming for being kidnapped, but we don't know his last name. And so his classification is John 117. 117 being the specific number of Spartan 2.
John 117 Chief.
Chief. And then Chief is his rank or whatever. Or his name. Part of his name, whatever.
It's his surname. And then,
No.
117 translates to master.
Master Chief is probably what he would like you to call him, if I had to guess.
Master, I've never met him myself, but if I had to guess.
If I had to guess. I don't know like anything with the lore of Halo. So Halo Wars 1, I probably played about 1,000 hours of it.
That's a lot of hours.
Probably played the campaign at least 3 times, probably 4 times. And I played a ton of the multiplayer with friends. This is back in the high school days where I played with Xbox Live with friends.
As we all did, I think.
I played a shit ton of the Halo 1. But then when Halo 2 came out, I got all excited. But then I actually didn't really like it. So I never beat it. So, and also by this point, my Halo fanness was gone. So, I actually don't know much about the lore. Apparently it takes place... So, Halo Wars 1 takes place before all of the Halo stuff. It starts out on the planet that first started the war. But then, they get sort of, like, caught up in this whole other area of space that's, like, not in any of the other relevant Halo fiction.
Interesting. Okay.
But then by the end they go off in this fucking ship slip space into like, and they're stuck in the middle of nowhere basically. So it seems like by the time Halo 2 comes around, they're in 2559, which is like, it's after the Halo events.
Huh.
Which is why the Bane is starting this game, which is the Covenant, Covenant faction after the Halo 3, when the Covenant got disbanded, when the Prophets betrayed everyone and all died out, the Covenant got disbanded. But the betrayers or whatever, or the Banished. That's the...
The Banished?
The force that humans have to fight after Halo 3, because they need to make more Halo games.
Okay.
Anyways. Again, all the lore of like 3 of Reach, like all the posts, like shit with the rings, where basically all the rings got destroyed after like Halo 3 or something like that. I fucking tune out, so I don't know anything. But if you want to ask me about Spartan 2s or 3s, I'll talk to you about some Spartan 2s.
Okay.
First, the Halo book 1. 2, 3, 1, 3, 4,
and 5. I'm cutting
the
Halo talk.
Okay.
I know nothing. I can't engage with you at all on this subject. I don't know. I played Halo. All I know is there's a man in a green suit of armor, and he punched some small aliens in the face. And then he had some guns.
How are the Bengals?
John 117, Master Chief.
How are the Bengals winning this?
I don't know.
How is Yoko's Island Express? Mary played a little of this.
According to this website, in about 2004, WWE paid Randy Orton $813,000 per year. And then it slightly grew to $840,000 until about 2010, where he was getting $1 million a year.
Randy Orton?
And then it like never grew up.
We're asking about Dave Batista.
I say Randy Orton instead of Batista? Yep. Whoopsie.
You did.
He's talking about Batista. The snake.
Yep.
Randy Orton. The serpent.
Yeah. Viper.
The Viper.
The Viper was getting slightly less than Batista at this time, from what I looked at. I guess you are correct. His transition to Hollywood was smart and actually made him more money.
As long as
he got, like, the work.
If I learned one thing from my friend Antonio Brown, all that really matters at the end of the day is money.
Mm.
Also, playing for the team you want to play for, no matter what happens, no matter what. So, Yoku's Island Express, tell me about it.
Yoku's Island Express. It is...
A pinball game.
A pinball game. It's a pinball platformer, which is weird. I don't quite know what Mary said last week, other than she beat it in like one sitting, which is insane.
It's intense.
It took me much longer, but yeah, I eventually did beat it. It's I was not as far away from the end as I thought I was. I just had to sit down for like another 2 hours or so and finish it. It's a fun game. It's actually really cool. You should all try and play it if you can. Okay. Which you should, because it's on Game Pass.
Yeah. I played a little bit of it.
And I think it's like on Humble Monthly as well. There's an alternative source to get it for.
It's always
super cheap.
That's problem with the, yeah. That's my problem with Game Pass is like now there's too many ways to get games. So you get dip kits now.
Why ever buy games? That's what my problem was. Like, why am I gonna ever buy a game when I can get?
Well,
you're still gonna buy the game, yeah.
Well, you will like to support the developers and making them, but yes.
And then you also keep the game when your like Game Pass dies in like 3 years time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like this game quite a bit. There's a lot of fun to it. You can kind of like. It's a lot of like walking around kind of slowly because like, the ball rolls pretty slow in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Going from flipper to flipper to eventually get to the actual pinball zones, but once you do, then you're playing like little pinball tables, essentially custom pinball tables. It's very fun. It's got a lot of cute charm to it. Some of the characters are pretty fun and silly. And there's a lot of like extra stuff to do in that game of like sending parcels to different people or like focusing on the main story bit or doing some other stuff like unlocking certain fast travel systems or working on side quests because there's weirdly side quests and stuff or collectibles for like alternative endings but different.
This is like a Metroidvania.
New Game Plus endings
it?
Stuff.
It is.
No.
You don't think?
No. So no, in the sense that you're not really going to other places. If you go the right directions, you don't need to really go to different places more than once. If you know where to collect items and stuff, and it tends to kind of show you where you need to go to collect said items, you're fine. You're not Metroidvania-ing it. And again, there's like a fast travel system called the Beeline in that game, which you should unlock immediately. Yeah, it's just like honey pots that you like shoot between, and it gets you to like the main zone and to three different other like
side zones.
Sub main levels, yeah. Very, very quickly. And you can get off the Beeline at like any one of those honey pots, so you don't have to be stuck to those four different destinations.
That's neat.
This Cowboys getting this touchdown?
Keep updating us.
Cowboys did get a touchdown.
Yep. Cowboys got a touchdown.
Neat.
Fuck
yes. The Cowboys.
Zeke's not playing anymore. So that's fun. So yeah, it's Yoki's Island Express. You should play it. It's not that long of a game. Even I finished it. And like, even if you're not the best at pinball, like you can sometimes fudge it because you can still kind of control the ball if it's going slow enough. Like on some of the ramps, you can slow it down. Like if you're having trouble getting across from the right flipper to the left flipper to make a shot, you can just make sure you've got the ball on the right flipper, hold the right flipper up and roll across, really? Like by pulling the left the joystick left. And you just roll onto the other side's flipper quite easily and safely. Like, you have quite a bit of ball control to make things easy.
Oh. I didn't...
Yeah, I played about 10 minutes of this, and yeah, it's definitely a cool game, but I'm not sure if I actually want to play it or not. Sorry.
I mean, I don't know how long pinball it is. I might knock it out at some...
You do like to knock it out.
I'd love to knock them out. And speaking of knocking it out.
Speaking of knocking out these transitions.
Let's knock this news out. Last news story of the day. Our only one. Well, we kind of mixed them in there. Nintendo
what?
Direct.
What did he do, though?
What?
My fantasy kicker.
Justin Tucker? What's going on with Justin?
Fucking talk to the news. Don't ignore me. Sorry.
Hello, welcome to the news. So this week a big Nintendo Direct happened. That announced probably the biggest game of all time. We're getting another Deadly Premonition game. How are we feeling about that, everybody? How we feeling about that? Anyone?
Yay.
Okay. Okay. This is, you know, there were some games announced. Overwatch for Switch was probably the biggest, like, big ticket game announcement. Are you guys going to play Overwatch
yes,
on
sure.
Switch? Is that a yes? Are we going to be Overwatch switching now?
Sorry. Their permission too is a dumb thing, but yeah, I'm glad. So a cool thing about Nintendo having money
yes.
uh-huh. is they're funding niche games, weird niche
weird
Japanese
games.
Like I would Astro Chain, are even last generation they were doing it with like Mighty Number Nine. No, not my that one game by Platinum. They're pretty much giving Platinum money, actually. That's what they're doing. They're giving
Platinum
money,
money,
and they're making weird niche things, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my biggest thing from this Nintendo Direct is Jedi Knight 2 is coming to Switch. That's neat. I like
it. Is it neat?
Jedi Outcast.
Is it neat?
Oh.
Is it?
It's the last good Star Wars thing that's been put out in like 20 years.
Was it?
Was it?
What was after it?
What was before it?
Is the Old Republic good or not? I know
the
you play some of that.
The Old Republic is good.
Yeah.
So there you go. You're wrong.
Wow.
That's SWTOR.
Yeah, what about KOTOR? Is that before?
I don't know, man.
I was
talking about this being put out for Switch, not necessarily the official original release.
You said 20 years.
Okay. Got me there.
I mean,
but,
hey, sure. Why not put Star Wars games on Switch? I mean, again, the joke is port every game on Switch, and they're doing it. So there you go. I don't give a shit.
We're getting Tokyo Mirage Sessions though, and that's the most exciting thing.
A PG-13 version of it. And,
yeah, the one they brought out on American Wii U, which is somewhat censored. I'm all the quotes because that's a fucking dumb thing to say about video games. It's localization, not censorship.
Can't believe they censored it.
But yeah, I think the main thing is the chapter 2, I think they completely like gutted it. So it is technically a lot of gameplay changes, so that sucks. But hey, I still have my copy of the one I play on my Wii U emulator, so whatever. Which
yeah,
I didn't finish.
What did they change?
No,
you got up to chapter 2 and you were seated, right?
No, that's I think I got halfway through the game.
Out.
I got halfway through the game until I realized it's the JRPG that I don't like, so I'm going to stop playing.
Fair enough. It's kind of what happened with me as well. What happened with Chapter 2, though? What's
so
missing?
The main focus is on the one of the characters. So I think the big so there's you work at an idol company.
Yes.
Agency. And the person who runs this agency, she used to be a gravel model.
Gravure. Yes.
It's basically risque photo shoots where they're usually wearing bikinis and swimsuits and stuff like that. And maybe a little bit nude, perhaps. I don't remember. But anyways, the second chapter focuses a lot on her and her past with doing that. And how the main girl character is doing some of these photo shoots, more risque photo shoots, but apparently the
excellent.
They take out all mentions of it and stuff like that. So,
boo.
And where? Boo. So yeah, instead of the main character is wearing a bikini when she's doing the photo shoot, she's wearing something much less revealing.
Boo.
So yeah, it's not.
How dare they censor?
Yep. Yeah. So, no titties in the American version.
I will not be buying it.
Boycott it with me, everyone. Let's boycott together.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's a Fire Emblem game, but it has barely anything to do with Fire Emblem, so fuck that game.
It's not a Fire
it's
Emblem
not
game
It's not a Fire
yet.
Emblem game. I mean, I get your I get
like,
your
the
rage.
Closest they get to Fire Emblem is writing hashtag FE.
Hashtag Fire Emblem. We're doing it for them. What?
Yeah.
Did they ever make weren't they gonna do like a Persona characters in a Fire Emblem game? Like, weren't they ever gonna do like a cross Tekken kind of thing where one each studio makes their own? Well, that's all the news I have.
I have no clue.
I mean, okay, well.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Origin popped up.
Yay. Winston passed to Chris Godwin.
Yay.
I might win still.
Let's go watch football. How about that and wrap this up? It's been episode 170.
I think the SNES stuff, okay, whatever. I like it.
The SNES stuff is cool. The news reports of them saying they're not adding stuff monthly,
right,
or whatever, I have a feeling like that's like people are reading it as like they're not ever going to add anything again. I think it's more a case of a couple months down the line, they're just going to add another like five right. games or something. Tokyo Game Show, wait, that's like this month, isn't it? Some other time they're going to dump some more games in there, I think.
I thought they usually have a direct near Christmas.
Sorry, the article...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Sorry, the article I linked was terrible. Fuck you, Eurogamer. You suck.
What game was terrible?
No, Eurogamer, the article on the
what
Nintendo
Direct. What are you talking
Direct.
About?
Oh, yeah, this article is really trash, yeah.
Anyways, I think that, yeah, the biggest thing was the, what's the island, Tom Nook, Adventure Island?
The Tom Nook Island.
Tom Nook Island. Welcome home.
No,
Animal Crossing.
The big news was
Tom Nook Edition.
The big news was the Animal Crossing. They actually showed gameplay, right, and it looked like an Animal Crossing game. It sort of looked like the yeah, phone game, perhaps a little bit like that, where you're building up a town instead of just invading a town and taking it over. You're building one up one from scratch. Anyways,
so I'm not gonna lie, I like fully blacked out during the Animal Crossing segment. I was Same. Watching this Nintendo Direct, but like this, the moment it started to the end, I just can't remember a single bit.
Not a big Animal Crossing fan personally, so I'm going
nope.
with you. Looked at it, was like, that's Animal Crossing. All right, cool.
Yeah, you play it once, you've played it. You played every single level.
Oh, get fucked, Eli. That's what I feel about Animal Crossing, by the way.
Okay. Sorry. Well, this has been episode 174 of Roms of Baghdad. I want to thank you both for killing the show with me.
Don't worry, I won't be on it next week. It's fine.
Go Steelers.
Go Eagles. Whoa. We won. Come on, you got to give me a little bit more energy than that. For your Steelers? Come on now.
We're going to lose tonight.
You're going to beat the Pats. You got to beat the Pats. Juju. Connor, Big Ben, Small Ben, you gotta do
Big
it.
Ben, Benny Snell football. he's a backup running back.
Oh. Well, this has been episode 104 of Rums for Bang. I've been Albie. Please like us on Google and iTunes, if iTunes even existed. All the services. If there's a like button on a service you're listening to this on, some like back room alley, and there's like a little like button. Could you click that for us? We appreciate it. Leave a review, even if it's negative. We gotta get better somehow. Somebody's gotta tell me what to do, how to get better, how to get more joyful. So thank you. I will talk to you and see you all on the next episode of Roms Are Back Dead. Good night and good luck.
Wow.
Let's go Eagles. Kaka.
Oh, Obradin is also on the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I'd happily play Obradin on the Switch.
Yeah,
how do you play it, yeah?
No one can see us now, so we can talk about
there was
what
a lot,
we want.
There was a lot of titties in that Trails of Mana we
Jesus
make.
Jesus Christ. You see that interception? That was awesome.
I need to watch it.
There's your Colts, too. Your
Colts.
Your Colts.
Popcans is a Colt. Let's fade back in. Popcans is a Colt fan, and he got a hot interception. Let's watch it. Live reaction. Here we go.
Look at this interception.
I'm a little bit behind, so I'm watching it right now.
Here we go. Live reaction.
Throwing the line. Okay, they're about to start to play. Okay. Got the second and goal.
You guys are
Boom! He got the interception, yep. He got it.
You got it.
You were lying. That was an interception. No.
Thanks, folks. This has been Rhymes of Baghdad. Thank you for listening.